Welcome back to the Could Have Been Champions on ABC Local Radio. This Saturday morning, it's preliminary final weekend. The Brownlow's not far away. Good morning once again to Billy Baxter.
Hello, Jeff. I know I should be ebullient, but a little ennui has just crept in during the news.
Flat feeling. Ian Cover, good morning once again to you.
Hello again, everyone.
And to Torch McGee.
No, I'm not on Wii. I'm happy.
You'll be on the Wii tonight.
And Greg Champion, you've got this week's mailbag in your hand.
Yes, Richo, where is Raymond Island?
Raymond Island is in the Gippsland Lakes. It's in the middle of, or not middle, it's in Lake King. It's across a short channel from Painesville.
You can only get there with a Bulls cruiser, isn't
it? No, there's a ferry. There's a car ferry.
They have a footy match there every year or something, don't they?
Once a year.
And this game, which is on today.
Oh, today?
Features players from 8 to 68, boys, girls, men and women. So it's...
Terrific.
An interesting structure of a game.
Have they got any spots left? Because a few Geelong players could go down there and get some momentum up for next year.
So it's on today. Ball bounced at 1:30. And it says VIP marquee, sausage sizzle, jumping castle, face painting.
Correct. Perfect.
All proceeds to Painesville Ambulance Auxiliary.
Hang on, you've never seen a place with more koalas.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, I was there one Australia Day. Talk about Australia Day violence. The koalas were having a set.
Were they?
Up in the tree.
knock them down, now, drag them out of there.
Now, that's un-Australian. Two koalas on Australia Day. What would Willow say?
They were not taking a backward step.
Going down their burrow backwards.
Would a kangaroo step in to break it up? Or
so
Wombat waddled up and threw one?
What do you know about Oyen United?
Third marsupial in.
I reckon they might play out of Oyen.
Yeah. And know anything more about Oyen United?
Well, they won the flag last week.
Yeah. Well, we reported, I think, last year, 43 sides in the Oyen region came down to one.
Mm-hmm. The main two being Oyen and Walpiup, I think.
Yeah, and then the Oyen were merged with Walpiup.
Yeah.
And they won the flag last week in the Sunraysia football.
No mean feat. Very league. Competitive league.
And grand final.
They beat, tell me who they beat.
It doesn't say here. Walpiup Underball is the merge.
I was here last Saturday afternoon doing the grassroots footy.
Mm-hmm. And you were great.
Thank you. And that was one of the games that we had on. I forgot now there was that many we did, but they won.
Yep.
And it was about 5:45, probably. It was only about 45 minutes after the siren, and there was a SMS message. They don't take long, do they, in anything, from someone using the pseudonym Just Saying, and Just Saying just said, oh, yeah, well, what do you expect, you know, with all the money and the concessions and the points they were given by the league.
They've got an academy, have they?
Yeah. It just smacked that.
And the final emailer is Jimmy from Bulgaria. And Jimmy wrote that... Richo flippantly said on air...
Oh, no, nothing flippant here.
Something some time ago, he said, you may be listening from anywhere, like on a train in Bulgaria. And at the time, Jimmy was staring out the window on a train out of Sofia when this was spoken.
It was last weekend, I think you said
nothing
that.
Flippant about it.
No.
So hello to Jimmy in Bulgaria listening on the
Jimmy.
Podcast.
That was psychic.
And he says, my wife and I cringe and laugh every time Source calls in from Talkback. He's scarily similar to someone we know.
That's psyche. What would Tammy Ruse make of that? Because she's into all that psychological stuff.
She could tell you. Mm. Well, it just goes to show people are listening all over the place, maybe on a train in Bulgaria, or maybe walking down Oxford Street, as Matt was, and Matt's just tweeted through to say, currently walking down Oxford Street, Paddington, not a Swans scarf, flag or jumper in sight. Sure.
Well, that's because they're all in Melbourne.
Oh, of course.
Will they go back or they stay here for the week, Torch?
Well, I think they'll stay.
So how many events you got on this week with the Swans reunions?
Not that many. But
not that many.
Where will they all stay, Torch? Down at St Kilda, you know, from St Kilda to King's Cross.
Down the Car Hotel.
Rye, wouldn't they? Well, I haven't heard a lot of action down the south of Melbourne Swans in Rye these days, but they'll probably stay at the Rising Sun.
You'll have to start doing some forward planning too.
Yes.
For the 2026 10-year reunion after they win the flag. Hey?
But mentioning Matt's tweet from Oxford Street brings us to our Twitter question of the morning, which was, who should they do it for in end this afternoon's final, if they're going to do it for anybody and if doing it for somebody can get you over the line in a game. Lots of tweets come in. Andy Belairs is our master of the social media. AB, Andy, what have we got? Who are they going to do it for?
Let's go straight in. And Andrew Donison reckons surely the Doggies have got to do it for the little kid that Chris Grant gave the 20 cents back to all those years ago.
Yes. Nice.
Dan reckons the Bulldogs will do it for the Pacific Ocean worth of tears shed in the last 55 years.
That's a mouthful for Luke Beveridge. Mm.
There are a number here who suggest this person, but I'm going to go with John Blackman reckons that they should do it for Ernie.
Yes. Oh,
of course. Mm.
Good old Swish reckons that Danny Del Rey Shaw's son is playing for GWS at the moment.
That'd be right.
What?
Danny Del Rey Shaw's son.
Oh, little joke there.
Yeah.
Oh,
wow. Where are we? Margaret reckons that they should do it for the Hyde Street Band volunteers who got pelted with coins and peanuts.
Yeah, and in fact, if the Dogs do win, they should bring the Hyde Street Band back. Hyde Street Band back next Saturday. If the league won't have them, we'll have them on the concourse outside the ground because we'll be there between gates 1 and 2 near the Dennis Lilly statue next Saturday morning from 10 o'clock.
Hyde Street Band would be better than Sting.
Yeah, put them on the ground and let them back Sting.
The Dogs, the call's out now. If the Dogs win and they're in the grand final, we want the Hyde Street Band down on the concourse.
And their bar chords will have to be facing up.
And can also someone bring a blanket? And we'll carry that around, and you can throw the coins into it to pay for the band.
And then Billy can walk behind with a board with the number that won the raffle on it.
He's happy to do that, Torchy.
I tell you what, Andy, that particular suggestion of who to do it for generated a lot of interest.
Yeah, keep going.
Well, we have it's on a different subject, but there's a tweet here from VK3P, who is a constant tweeter to us. His daughter is one of the priority picks for the GWS women's team. So congratulations to him. And his daughter.
Yeah, very much so. Well, they're in the paper today.
Yeah.
Which daughter is it?
His daughter?
Yeah. Well, Phoebe McWilliams.
I don't know, it might be his middle daughter.
Phoebe McWilliams is one of them.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
She's been on our show.
She has.
She has.
And there's two others, I forget, they're in the little original little paper this morning.
Hmm. Okay, so Buster reckons they should do it for Danny. I think it might be Danny Lonigan.
Danny Del Rey.
Grant Nichols.
Danny Southern.
Do it for the peanut man. He doesn't like Danny. He's Daniel.
Oh, okay.
Gary reckons the Doggies have to do it for Teddy. He'd be looking down telling him to stick it right up him.
He would indeed.
Justin of Earlwood reckons that they should do it for Stephen Goff because he heard a rumour that if the GWS win, the grand final will be moved to Princess Park. Clary McSweary reckons they should do it for Franco Cozzo. Oh. If they win, all the players should get a king-size bed with a decorative headboard.
Yeah, good.
Giggs says that they should do it for his mum and late dad. They got married weeks after our 54 flag and felt their nuptials may have caused the curse.
Oh, I don't think they should think that, but that's a good one.
Footy Maths reckons they should do it for the famous Dogs fan and restaurateur Jimmy Wong.
Oh, yeah. Jimmy Wong's very popular out there.
Okay. Warren Howden says they should do it for his dad because in 54, his dad waited in vain for a lift to the game from his uncle, which never arrived. Dan Donohue said, wouldn't it be great for the Dogs to do it in honour of the great club hero, Leon Cameron? Ian says they should do it for the Trocadero. After all, football is art. Couple saying Tony Liberatore. Chiralgan Tiger says, do it for the bloke that toots the horn and revs the Sandman up and down Barclay Street after each home win.
Does that fit in? Oh, that's magnificent.
And one last one. VFL Park says, I don't remember Isaac Heaney coming to school here.
They won't. Not many doing it for the... the Giants.
Well, thanks to all of those tweeters.
I'm surprised there wasn't an Irene Chatfield in there.
I know there is on the email from Brendan.
Okay.
Do it for Irene. And from Hick on the email, the old bloke who used to supply those cube things in the length of spouting in the urinal at the old Western Oval.
What? Well,
very specific.
Do it for the bloke who had the drink stand behind the goals at the Barclay Street Inn, who at the only place in the league where you could get Midori and lemonade.
True.
True.
All that and more is on the website now. Thanks to everyone who tweeted through. Just go to kuttabeans.com.au and you can read all of that. And there's heaps more. Thanks once again to everyone who sent them through. You're with the Kuttabeans on ABC Local Radio. Right after this, we'll be back with more songs from Greg Champion.
Excuse me. That tree over your driveway at 11:15 tonight, that's going to fall on your house.
Oh.
Just letting you know.
Well, we'd better sleep in the back room then.
Even if you knew precisely when an emergency was going to happen, would you be ready? Emergency numbers in your phone? Insurance up to date? Red Cross has an easy plan to help you prepare for an emergency. Head to redcross.org.au/prepare.
Welcome back to the Good of Me Champions. And it's the second instalment of the Best of the Best.
Oh, just before you all do right. get going on that, I've found the article in the paper with the three Victorians who have been. So there's a caption for you, written from a very Victorian perspective. A picture of the three girls who are playing for the Giants in the Women's League. Phoebe McWilliams, Jessica Del Pos, and Louise Stevenson. Caption says, Victorians, Phoebe, Jessica and Louise, have been poached by GWS. Yeah. Not signed, poached.
Well, we don't want to go shooking and whinging about that now,
well, they
do
look
we?
Very happy to have been poached.
Yeah. No one has said that Mo Hope's been poached by Collingwood. She's been signed by them. No.
She a good player, that little Jessica Del Pos.
Exactly.
Greg, I can see you're all ready to sing a song, but I'm going to change the rundown of the show as we go here.
Oh.
Because what is the biggest thing about this week besides the grand final?
Brownlow, Monday
Brownlow
night.
Medal. Can we go back in time to 1992? Who won the Brownlow?
Me.
A ruckman.
No, Scotty Wine.
I think Scotty Wine won it, and then, in an amazing thing in the history of football, turned up to the Kuttabeans Brownlow Ball at Malvern Town Hall the next night, and he joins us online. Scott, welcome back to the Kuttabeans.
Hey, boys, how you doing?
Yeah, thank you, Scotty.
Yeah, what have you been doing since we last saw you in 1992?
Time goes very quickly, doesn't it?
No, I think we have talked to you in the intervening period, haven't we?
Yeah, caught up a couple of times, I think, a couple of years ago now, but too long.
Yeah. So cast your mind back to Brownlow Night 1992.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember? So you've been invited along. Did you go along feeling, you know, you might be a chance?
Well, I was favoured at the time, but I don't think you ever go there thinking you're a chance. You go there and it was only a couple of years prior I saw Libba win it, sitting there at home watching him on TV, and thought, wouldn't it be great to go to the Brownlow? And then 2 years later, was lucky enough to get enough votes, and it was pretty scary. I was only 22 at the time, and never thought about ever achieving something like that. And it was fantastic. It was just a disappointing week because we. Surprise, surprise, we got beaten in the prelim against Geelong a couple of days prior and drowned our sorrows for a couple of days. And I think Brownlow night was pretty much the only night I was sober for the whole week.
Had you prepared a speech, Scott?
Not a hope in hell. I was actually sitting at the pub till 3 o'clock with a few of the boys. The famous Simon Atkins incident when the girlfriend dropped all the belongings off at the local pub in Footscray, and about 3 o'clock came along and said, "She's better to get home, get ready and find what suit I'm wearing."
And can you recall who you were seated with at the Brownlow?
I had Libba on one side, obviously my girlfriend and soon-to-be wife next to me, and then Simon Atkins and Simon Atkins' mum sitting next to me on the other side. So that was an interesting table.
A late change in the Atkins lineup.
Yeah, it occurred over the weekend, as we spoke about. Mum got the call up and got to sit there in peace.
Scott, you were only 22 at the time, which is extraordinary to think about. And of course, you were stepping into a really distinguished line of Footscray Brownlow medalists. A lot of people were comparing you at the time to the great John Schultz. I suppose as time's gone on, that that's in a better perspective for you now?
I think John's a little bit in front of me. I think he had about five best and fairest and the Brownlow, and he's a fantastic person, John. I actually watched him on Mike Sheen's show the other night. And one of the true gentlemen of the game. It was always great. Him and Charlie Sutton, they were always around the club when I was playing, but it wasn't so much when they were there when we were winning. They were always first on the doorstep when you lost, and Charlie would always be there on a Tuesday night. And John, probably for the first 7 or 8 years, would always introduce himself to me as, "Hi, Scott, well done today, John Schultz." And I said, "Yeah, John, I know your name." But John always thought it was appropriate that he introduced himself. He never took himself, I suppose, for granted that people around the club would know who he was. But, yeah, fantastic person.
In that year you won the Brownlow, I'm not suggesting you needed it, but did you have a ruck coach down there at the Doggies?
Yeah, I had the great Gary Dempsey. Demps, certainly, I had him for a couple of years prior. He started about 1990, I think it was, when Terry Wheeler took over. And Demps still thought he was 22. That was the biggest problem. And we certainly used to go at each other pretty hard. Probably my fiercest opponent in the early 90s was Gary Dempsey at training. He toughened me up a little bit, and he was good to bounce off things. As a kid playing in the ruck, you'd go and play the same way week in, week out, and you wouldn't look at the opposition, ruckman, how they play, what you should do differently to them. So he helped me, I suppose, develop different aspects to the way I rucked against certain players.
And those certain players, who was the most difficult? Who had arms flailing or just body strength? Who did you find it a real challenge to overcome?
The Madden boys, Simon was sort of coming to the end a little bit. I think he finished about 93. But Simon technically was fantastic. I mean, something that I tried to do later in my career, I suppose, is step across the line and protect the fall of the ball and body the opponent in the centre bounces. And Justin was just a big bugger. I don't think he had any control over his arms and legs a lot of the time. it was almost dangerous sometimes. I found the best way was just to keep clear of him as much as possible.
And these days, Scott, ruckmen don't win Brownlows anymore. You're one of the last.
Hopefully that changes at some stage. It's such a stat-driven game now, isn't it? The amount of players racking up 40-plus possessions is just unheard of 10 years ago, let alone 20 years ago. So it's going to be hard for a big bloke to get recognition, I suppose, for the putting it on their chest, but that's... hopefully in the future there might be somebody who can do it.
And the ruck position today, Scott, whose work do you like?
It pains me to say it. I like Mummy from the Swans. His ruck work's fantastic, but it's also his follow up and the work he does around the contest to clear space. He's got a fairly good bunch of midfielders running around with him who are now just growing with him, I suppose. And I think that's something the Bulldogs are going to have to really focus in on tonight, is if you restrict Mummy in the ruck, that certainly limits the impact of all of their midfielders as well.
And have you been around the club much this year?
I was down there at the start of the year. Bevo invited me down just before round one to hand out some first jumpers to three first gamers. Marcus Adams, Suckling, and Josh Dunkley.
Terrific.
Well, that was there. So Bevo invited me down and said a few words and wished them all the best and told them that they'd all got us, all our supporters, very excited. And as it turns out, it's been a fantastic year for them.
Did you play with Bevo?
Yeah, early 90s. Bevo...
Rove to you, did he?
A little bit. He sort of... in and out a little bit, but I think he's Melbourne prior to us and then headed off to St Kilda after about probably 3 years, I think.
Back then, did you think he was going to be a coach?
No. I mean, geez, I never thought Leon Cameron would be a coach either in the 90s, but, it's great to have a couple of our ex-players, at least, hopefully it's better, but at least one of them's going to have you know, opportunity to coach a premiership side in 2 weeks' time. But now Bevo was, now he comes from a fantastic football family. John Beveridge for the years and years has been around recruiting, and I still see John from time to time at some junior matches, and you know, just a fantastic football family.
We're talking to Scotty Wine, 1992 Brownlow medalist. And Scotty, of course, as a Brownlow medalist, you get invited every year. You're going Monday night?
No.
What?
This is around this time of the year, I migrate up north to Port Douglas. So,
oh, if you don't mind.
take the family up there. And actually, I was just peeling some prawns when you guys rang. And, you know, just about to put a little bit of lemon on them and sit out by the pool. I think it's about 28 degrees up here at the moment. So,
being a Brownlow medalist has its advantages.
Well, yeah. So,
How long does this migration last?
It's about 10 to 12 days usually.
Well, if the Dogs win, you'll be back for the grand final, won't you?
Be back Thursday. Yep.
The
kids are all. I've got four kids, and I get two tickets from the AFL for the grand final, and I'm going to have to show my hand and declare which one of my favourites, aren't I?
or make it a game of chance. I'm just thinking of those prawns. It's a bit like the walrus and the carpenter. I wonder if they realise they're being eaten by a Brownlow medalist.
That'll be nice.
Scotty, can you recall in 92 whether the prawn cocktail was on the menu at the Brownlow?
No. I can remember someone asking me a question of what food there was, and I said, whatever it wasn't enough. So I don't think I'd eaten a lot during the day being at the pub. So, no, it was a fantastic night. Just seems a long, long time ago now.
And then the celebration continued all day till we found you celebrating in a pub, I think, out in Footscray.
We actually had to go to the club.
That's right.
They had the end of season, and I was there, and I headed home and got picked up. I was living out at Chicana at the time, and you guys were nice enough to send a car out there for me. And
I think you had a couple of mates that came with you, and when you got to the Malvern Town Hall, you came in to appear on stage with us, but your mates stayed in the car because they'd never been in a limo before.
No, well, I did pick them up from the Broadmeadows pub. So, but they were nice enough to be celebrating all day down there, so I was still fine. I was sober, but they'd enjoyed themselves. I picked them up, and the funny story was, one of them, while they were waiting in the car, they were still having a couple of beers, and the one of them had to go to the toilet, so he wandered out and went to the building next door and did what he had to do. All of a sudden, looked up, and there was a blue light above him. He didn't know what the blue light was. It was the Crown Cop Shop.
Right next door.
That's right.
Yeah, he had to get back in pretty quickly.
Oh, that's funny. All right.
Scott, marvellous to talk to you again. We'll let you get back to your prawns. Don't overdo the lemon.
No, okay, not a problem. I'll take your advice. I'm an expert peeler now. I've got about another 20 to go.
Enjoy Port Douglas, and I just hope you're back for a marvellous grand final.
So do I. Look, it's so exciting for our supporters. You know what, they deserve it. All due respects to GWS, they've got a bit of time to wait as far as I'm concerned.
I think you're not the only one.
Yeah, I just love for the doggy supporters, so good luck to them.
Good on you, Scotty.
Thanks again, Scott. All the best.
Thanks, guys.
I wonder if
Scott Wine.
Speaking of Ruckman Brownlow medalists at the Combined Pass Players' lunch yesterday, Peter Moore was one of the guests.
Was he?
And he revealed what was going through his head when he turfed that loser's medal into the turf, which I think might still be there somewhere.
Well, he did a great service because they no longer award them.
No, and I think that was part of his reasoning.
I think you still get sent one later on.
Oh, do you?
For participating. I'm not sure.
But it's not made part of the ritual on the ground.
Most people didn't realise that Peter Moore was actually captaining Collingwood that day, so that had something to do with his attitude.
We diverged, Greg, to talk to the 1992 grand finals, but I think it was worth it.
Let's go. And I wonder if she would tell Scotty Wine that he's a sook and a whinger.
Yeah.
But anyway, song's Richo.
Yes.
And let's deal with tonight's game. And Peter Sims has been a regular over the years.
Hey, Peter.
And now, he's had a quiet season by his standards, but he's bobbed up at the right time, as good ones do. And he's taken the Fitzroy song, Deep in Our Hearts. So, from the top, by Andy. 1, 2, 1, 2, 3. Oh,
every fan is on the bandwagon of Footscray. It's a dead set feel good fairy tale story. Oh, every non-aligned fan's going for Footscray. They've been waiting long for that victory.
Yes, Footscray is the team from the industrial west, and the way they play the game has got everyone impressed. They haven't won the big one since 1954, and everyone knows that no footy club deserves it more. But those doggy fans have waited over half a century, easily the longest wait of all clubs in the league. And if the footy gods are smiling and fulfill their dream, we know there could not never be a more deserving team. Oh,
every fan is on the bandwagon of Footscray. It's a dead set feel good fairy tale story.
A rooty dooty.
Oh, every non-aligned fan's going for Footscray. They've been waiting longest for that victory.
I really mean it.
They've been waiting longest for that victory.
Doody-doody-doo. Boy.
Is that the first time the word non-aligned have appeared in a lyric somewhere?
And let's hope it's the last.
So Richard Evans pointed out that he said he wrote, "I love it that she's called the Giants critics whingers and sooks." So here were some songs that got tossed around this week:
mm-hmm.
Sookin' and whingin' and whingin' and sookin', sookers and whingers. I'll give you the mail. They want Western Sydney to fail. So tune in to the bloke who put wheels on suitcases. Giants knockers are just sookers and whingers. Yeah, whingers and sooks use all our green time rotations and overseas matches and Anzac Day games. All she's invented. And that's not to mention sliced bread. So tune in to the bloke who put wheels on suitcases. Giants knockers are just sookers and whingers. Yeah, whingers and sooks use all our... So, I sent that, and then John Ogue suggested this. Oh, chaps, join in here.
Mm-hmm. Did you just say giant knockers?
Giant knockers.
Oh.
Yes.
Thank you, Frankie Howard, for just popping in.
John Ogue suggested this.
Someone tweeted him to do it this. For Ernie Sigley.
Yes, you wouldn't have.
Blockbuster games and waving jackets round your head. And the rookie list, they're all she's invented. Indigenous involvement and international games. So if you bag the Giants, you will hear Kev exclaim, right.
Sook, go the whingers, sook, sook, sook. Why don't you all take a good hard look? Your whingers and your sooks bagging Western Sydney. Take it from the game's most decorated visionary.
Tying down the windsock was classic sheedy biz. Four on the bench, that's another one of his. Of course he's known for putting wheels on suitcases. So if you's knocked the Giants, this is what Kevin said. Hey,
sook, go the whingers, sook, sook, sook. Why don't you all take a good hard look? Your whingers and your sooks bagging Western Sydney. Take it from the game's most decorated visionary.
Your whingers and your sooks bagging Western Sydney.
Take it from the game's most decorated visionary.
Is that just... Is that just new this week? That's very late bid for one of the best of the year.
Yes.
Hey, don't worry about that.
I'm not sure if it... Did Kev actually invent the international
games? I can see him being driven around sitting in the back of a ute and the whole MCG singing.
Yeah, correct.
Did he give the idea to Harry Beitzel, did he, the international games?
Yes. Yes, Torchin, it's time you realise.
Put the words up on the screen. Seeds goes round in the back of a ute. Hey, fantastic.
Now,
take it from the game's most decorated visionary.
Does that validate it? Are people sooks and whinges or aren't they? There's no answer. Greg Tuck. It was earlier in the year. I just want to revisit briefly a little song because it amused me at the time, and we are going through songs of the year. It was a big news week down in Europe. Lots was going on. The Palms had a vote to quit the EU. Suddenly they're gone. That was nothing compared to the outcome of a soccer game. When a tiny little North Pole country shot to sudden world fame. And just when you thought there could be no more world carnage, another truck got stuck underneath a Montague Street bridge. As if there hadn't in the world this week already been enough damage. Well, everybody? Another truck got stuck underneath the Montague Street bridge.
Only one man can fix it. He's done everything else.
And those people who aren't happy about trucks getting stuck under the bridge.
They are.
Sooks and whinges. That's all they are. Okay, to conclude this segment of the program, I sent this in a long time ago. Here's how the chorus goes, lads. I'll show it to you. It's not the size of the dog in the fight. Dog in the fight. Oh, no, it's not the size of the dog in the fight. It's a
fight in the dog.
Do that, everyone. Not the size of the dog
in the fight, dog in the fight.
Oh, no, it's not the size of the dog
in the fight.
It's a fight in the dog. Oh, when you look out west and the people out there, they do things differently. They learn from y'all, they have to fight for every victory. And Bulldog fans, they know our counts. You gotta have heart in large amounts. Come on.
It's not the size of the dog in the fight, dog in the fight. Whoa, no, it's not the size of the dog in the fight. It's a fight in the dog.
Well, there's a club out there who toughed it out, had to battle to stay alive. But thanks be to the football god, they managed to survive. Yeah, Bulldogs bark, Bulldogs bite, Bulldogs have to win tonight.
Oh, it's not the size of the dog in the fight, dog in the fight. It's not the size of the dog in the fight. It's a fight
in
the dog.
And Footscray people, they all know, the harder they come, the harder they go.
It's not the size of the dog in the fight, dog in the fight. Oh no, it's not the size of the dog in the fight. It's a fight in the dog.
Oh, yeah.
Do it for Scragger.
So, if that doesn't get you going, then it doesn't.
Then you'll sing a whole lot more next Saturday morning when we'll be live outside the MCG.
Yeah. Yes.
Lots more where that came from. Beautiful, Greg. You're with the Could Have Been Champions on ABC local radio. And right now we're going up to the Mid-Murray Footy League. We're going up to the Warraneen Football Netball Club.
Super.
Just over a year ago, we were up at the Swan Hill Performing Arts Centre. We did a show up there, and the people from Warraneen had a table just down to my right. And
on the front,
shocking week for them because their rooms had burnt to the ground. Yes. They lost the lot. Mm. Just over a year later now, the AFL have named their annual Footy Volunteer of the Year, and it's gone to Jan Steike from the Warraneen Tigers, and she joins us online. Welcome to the Could Have Beens.
Morning.
How are you, Jane?
Jane, congratulations on being named Footy Volunteer of the Year.
Thank you very, very much.
Mm. How long have you been around the Warraneen Club?
20-odd years.
Yeah, and what got you involved?
My husband played there, and then our children have all gone through playing juniors and seniors, football and netball, so, yeah, we're still there.
And, Jane, my grandfather played for the Warraneen Tigers in the 1920s.
Oh, wow. Who was that?
Joseph Richardson.
Oh, okay, yep.
You'd remember him.
Yeah, Big Joe.
I knew him.
Well, it brings me, like, with the fire you had last year, did you lose, like, all of those, just that historical material?
Everything. Everything. Not a thing to, nothing.
Okay.
All their photos, memorabilia, cups. Everything gone.
Well, you've obviously had a lot of roles at the club over your time. What was your major role, say, 12 months ago when the fire occurred, Jane?
I do the canteen. I do all the game day, and I do Thursday night meals and Saturday night meals.
Mm-hmm.
But I also do a lot of other little jobs around.
Mm. But then, of course, after the fire, the club had to sort of keep going. And tell us how that occurred and what part you played.
So when the club rooms burnt down, we still had two home games to host. So one of those we played at Lake Boga, and another we played out at Tullibus. So we had to cart everything we needed to those clubs. So they were very, very helpful. Mm-hmm. We also, our Thursday tees actually went to a Wednesday, and we went to the Tintinda ground. And so I still did meals there for the players. After a while, I said, we need to go back home. So when we were allowed to, once they cleared the site, we set up a couple of marquees, and that's where we did our meals out of.
And the canteen was in a caravan?
It is in a caravan now.
Oh, have you painted it in the Tigers' colours?
No, we haven't. Oh. We've got a temporary shed facility and a caravan that's it out for canteen. And our players get changed in shipping containers.
Oh, so that's been your home game set up for the 2016 season. Marquees, caravan and shipping containers.
Yep, that's it. And portable toilet showers.
And anyway, despite all that, the spirit of the club is obviously still very strong, Jane.
Oh, yes, it's very, very strong. We're now waiting on our plans to rebuild.
Okay.
But let's focus on the individual just for a moment, Jane. Tell us, where were you when you found out that you'd won the AFL Footy Volunteer of the Year?
I was home and I got a phone call.
Was it Gillan McLaughlin rang
you
up?
No.
Oh, come on, Gil.
It was Jared from AFL Victoria rang me.
Okay.
And I had no idea.
Well, it's a great honour, but
it is.
No doubt you accept it, though, on behalf of all the other volunteers.
Oh, I did, and as I said, there's so many people out there that volunteer in all sorts of ways that obviously they thought that I was worthy.
Mm. So, do you get a rest now the footy season's over, or you keep busy between seasons with the club?
No, I get a bit of a rest, but I still do a few catering jobs, and I'll probably help the cricket club out with a few meals, a fair bit of a rest. Mm.
And with the meals, do you keep it fairly basic, or do you introduce tempura vegetables and teriyaki beef? Is that big up there in Warraneen?
No, we don't. We like a schnitzel and chips and a roast and
rissoles.
Yeah.
Oh, I like the sound of the schnitzel and chips.
Yeah,
actually.
Yeah, the boys, the footy boys, love a schnitzel.
What about a parmy, Jane?
Yeah. No, we haven't got enough rooms to fiddle around with that sort of stuff.
Now, Jane, is Ronnie Stanton still involved with the club?
Around,
yeah. Probably can remember. President. He could probably remember all those past players going back to about 1916.
Yeah. Yep. No, he's been around for a while.
Mm. And of course, Jane, one of the most famous of all, who captain coached the club, is Carl Dittrich.
Yes, Carl and Alana around, and their kids. Yep.
Terrific.
Yeah.
And how did the season go on the footy field and the netball courts this year for Warrenine?
Very, very well. We had every single team of football and netball playing in finals.
Oh, that's great.
And we actually ended up, three of our netball teams won a grand final, and our youth girls football team won their grand final.
Oh, wow. Was that the inaugural youth girls flag?
Second year.
And the Tigers have won the flag.
Yep.
Playing out of shipping containers.
Yes, exactly. Yes.
Well, when they get the flags next year, wrap them in a fire blanket, for goodness sakes.
Yes,
I don't think you need to. Go on.
I was going to say, hopefully we've got our new club rooms for next year.
Oh, I was just going to say, you don't need new rooms, Shane. The containers sound like they're working well.
They're very trendy.
No,
hey.
No, we need new club rooms.
All the very best with that project, Jane. And congratulations to you personally and the club, but all the other volunteers throughout footy and netball, of which this award recognises not just you but all of them.
Yeah.
Thank you very, very much.
Terrific.
Well done, Jane.
Our pleasure.
They should have a civic reception for Jane at the town hall, where we were.
Driving down the main street.
Just a couple of quick dogs stories off the various social media platforms. Mark Hunter, of course, played for the Dogs, and his son is going around as well. Has just sent us a photo of Danny Del Rey and his son Willis looking very hopeful for a Dogs win.
Oh, good day. Thanks, Mark.
And we have reports, unconfirmed, that Luke Beveridge personally paid for the breakfast of 8 busloads of Bulldogs fans in Wodonga as they head up the Humed.
Wow.
How good's that? Jeez. If we'd have known that, we would have done the show from Wodonga.
And Scott Wynn will be sending down his receipts from his prawns.
Well, they say he's a people person, Luke.
Well, there you go.
That's fantastic. You're with the Coulda Beans. We're racing up to the top of the clock here. We've got a lot to get through. First of all, I want to go around the panel now. I want to know what you've all learned today. Billy Baxter, I want you to go first.
I learned that I had erroneously referred to the Giants' colours as charcoal.
When in fact?
It's monument.
Torch McGee, did you learn today?
I learned a lot about Isaac Heaney's stats, say, that I wasn't aware of before. But I also learned that in Grand Final Week 1992, the only time that Scott Wine was sober was the night he received his Brownlow medal.
And we don't advocate that sort of behaviour.
No, drink in that.
Responsibly.
That's right. That'll do it.
Greg Champion, what did you learn today?
I learned when the talk turns to having frothies in a beer garden, that Kaiserslautern is still a popular drink, and it still sounds like a cheap 70s bubbly, doesn't it?
Yeah, without a doubt. Andy Belez, what did you learn today?
Well, I'm going to cheat a little bit here, Richo, because I've just received a text message from Scott Wine to say the prawns were delicious.
Thank you, Andy, and thank you, Scott. Ian Cover, what did you learn today?
Well, I learned today that David Robbins is a very decorated footballer for a bloke who got rookie drafted and never played an AFL game. But we did learn from him that the koala at Dadswell's Bridge looks like it's got its ears missing.
And I was going to say, Cove, it would be South Australian tourists.
Yeah, correct.
Of course. That's who did it.
Port
and
supporters.
I learned today that something I've been under a misapprehension about since, I reckon, about 1970, that there is no P in Umbar Lipsidar. That it's actually Umbar Lipsidar, not Umbar Lipsidar. It's going to take me a long time to make the adjustment. Let's catch up on what's been an enormous week in football. Only one place to go, news desk of Outside Footy. Sam the Sub has been good enough to join us all season. Not long to go now, Sam. We're getting to the pointy end.
That's right, gentlemen. G'day. I think I'll just fall over the line this year. It's been a big week, not only looking at the week in football. We're getting ready for our Brownlow Medal edition. It's taken a lot of work and a lot of research.
Mm. And what have you come up with?
Oh, we're going to have a full-colour middle page lift out every Brownlow medalist to pull on the black and white.
Oh, so, yeah, good. Peter Moore will feature there.
Yeah.
Dane Swan.
Yeah, there'll be a few of them,
yeah. Yeah,
and, of course, last night, I know you must be upset being a Geelong supporter, but we had to call it as it was.
What have you said?
Let's see, cat attack lacking, swan serve up shellacking, shabby tabby slackers, bitty kittle ditty. Or bitter kitty litter.
Bitty kitty
litter. You've twisted the knife a bit there, Sam.
A bit hard to say after a couple of 10 hours. So I think I got a bit too clever for myself there.
Yeah, you did.
And, of course, next week you can look forward to the grand final balloon giveaway.
Oh, yeah, you're doing one.
That's right. So one of the editions will have a balloon in it. You might be lucky enough to get that. I'm not too sure what colour the balloon will be. We've got a packet of them lying around here somewhere. You found that balloon yet? I'll keep looking. You might find that apostrophe you dropped. Yes. This is very timely. Little sport this week.
Oh, great.
Good.
Little sport comes home from work in his crisp white shirt.
Yeah.
He sweeps out the fireplace while eating a tangerine. And he gets mistaken for a Greater Western Sydney player. So that's a thigh slapper. Let's see. Oh, yes, the business cards. Well, this is a redux of sorts. Early in the season, we had Kevin Sheedy's plumbing business card.
Yes. Yeah.
And we've updated that. The business card he uses currently. Kevin Sheedy, genius. That's probably all he needs.
All he needs.
Still out there, pre-Dimitri prices. Don't forget, you could. We don't need gimmicks, but you could win a balloon.
Sam, you said you were limping to the end of the season. I think you've found a yard.
I think I'm outstretched reaching for the tape, Ian.
Yeah, well, if you found a yard, it'll be a yard glass.
Yes, I've got one of those. But anyway, we encourage people to drink responsibly.
Yes, of course.
Down here in the offices. What you do at home, that's your own.
terrific.
Thanks.
All right.
Thanks,
thank
Sam. Have a good grand final week. We'll talk to you next Saturday.
Jeez, look at that.
A little sport still coming.
That's the funniest cartoon, isn't it?
It's time for footy talk back torsion. We're running out of time. Let's race into it. Let's get through as many calls as we can. Full board.
Let's
first call,
right.
You're talking to Torch. Hello.
Hello.
First man, talk to Mr. Gay, please.
You're talking to him. Who's calling, please?
Yeah, it's Lance in Lara.
Well,
I'm a little bit disappointed but very proud of... Yeah, well, I'm a little bit disappointed but very proud of the Mighty Cats.
Yeah, did you go to the game last night, Lance?
I didn't, but I watched it on the television set in the bungalow.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah, but I had to make an aerial out of a coat hanger.
Oh, right. And how was your reception?
Oh, Mum was happy to see me. But I know why the Greater Western Sydneys are up there, because they got so much money, because I saw their coach in a truck.
Really?
Yeah, they had all these rolls of grass on the back of it. So he must have a lot of money if he can send his grass out to get cut. Isn't it?
Yeah,
yes, you're right.
They're spoiled. They are. Torch, it's true. Wow. They're completely spoiled. Next caller on Good Means Footy Talk Back. You're talking to Torch. Hello.
Hello.
Okay, Torch.
Oh, who's this?
It's Caden.
Caden, where are you calling from, Caden?
Caroline Springs.
All right. Now, do you follow the football, Caden?
Well, both for Blues, but we're going for the Ghouls.
Oh, really?
Yeah, in the final.
Why is that? A boy from Caroline Springs, why would you barrack for the GWS?
Why wouldn't I? Well, what are you trying to say?
Well, in Western Suburbs, yeah, I thought you might be on the Doggies bandwagon.
Who?
The Bulldogs.
But I got that dude from the Bulldogs who does the banners and stuff.
Oh, yes.
I reckon I could get one for the Ghouls.
Yeah.
Let's hear it.
It goes like this. Come on, the Ghouls. You're not going to lose. you like the Blues. you smell real good. not like.
I don't think we need that at all.
A bit more work to be done on that one.
We'll move to the next call. Yes. Go ahead, please. You're talking to Torchalo.
Hello.
There'll be bluebirds over on the white cliffs of Dover.
Hello.
Oh, am I on?
Yes, you are. Yes. Who's calling,
just
please?
I was waiting patiently.
Oh, that's very good.
I was having a little sing.
Yes, it sounded very nice.
Who's this, please?
It's Torch you're talking to. Who's
and
calling?
Why have you called?
You called us.
Oh, of course I did.
Yes.
I was listening earlier and I was quite confused.
Yes.
You referred several times to GWS. Now, I don't know what that acronym stands for.
Well, it stands for Greater Western Sydney.
Yes.
And that's an area of Sydney.
That's right,
in the western suburbs.
But what has it got to do with football?
They do have a football
There's
team.
There's a lot
out
of
there.
People asking that question, George.
Oh, what are their what is the football team?
It's called Greater Western Sydney.
Is that what the GWS stands for?
That's correct. Yeah, yes,
they're the Giants.
Why doesn't it have an FC there?
Ah, that's a very good question.
GWSFC.
There's CFC.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
that's
for both
right.
Carlton
yes.
and Collingwood.
That's right.
Yeah, look, you're onto something. Imagine if they had a monogram instead of that whatever
GFC
it is.
GFC for the Geelong football. Mm.
That's correct, Pearl. Yes.
There's HFC for the Hawthorn.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There is.
There's MF.
Okay, Pearl. Thank you anyway. I think she's hit on something.
The line of reasoning, but yes. we haven't really got time to go through. There's a lot of them. Next caller, you're talking to Torch.
Hello. Who's calling, please?
That's Peter.
Peter, calling from?
Peterborough.
Yes, did you go to the game last night,
yes,
Peter?
Yes, I did.
Yes, in the members?
Yes.
Yes.
And it's no wonder Geelong got beaten.
Oh, why is that?
Well, for a start, there was no discipline.
No.
But worse than that, where was Ottens? Where was Ling? Didn't see Harley? Joel Corey, when did he finish up?
Was
he injured?
They're all retired, Peter.
Oh, get them back in on the side. You can't retire. They know about discipline.
Yes, they do indeed.
Where was Rook? No sign of young Rook.
No, he wasn't there last night.
Heart and soul.
Yes.
No, simple solutions. Hard to argue with, Torch. Next caller, you're talking to Torch.
Hello. Oh, who's this? Who's calling, please?
It's Daddy.
Calling from?
I'm actually in Wodonga.
Well, Luke Beveridge is shouting breakfast.
I can't bring myself to cross the border.
That's all right, Daddy.
Just
not,
keep it together.
That's right. It's not that far to go now.
Just hold on, Daddy. Look, we need some wisdom. Yes. We've got to go to the guru. He's right there ready to talk to you, Torch.
Okay. Yes, Guru Bob, are you there?
I'm not there.
Oh, he sounds better than Danny.
Can you calm things down a bit for us, Guru Bob?
Got a big night planned tonight.
Oh, really? Mm.
I got to meet a Dougie's fan.
Yes.
If we win, we go tooting the horn and revving the Sandman up and down Buckley Street.
Oh, very good.
So you can join us if you like.
Yes, oh, I will.
So remember, Torch.
Yes.
The lessons of history for tonight. When the Huns swept down from Germania and sacked Rome, they shouted, "Come on, fellas, let's do it for Attila." And when they sacked the place, Attila stood there on the forum and he said, "The key thing now is don't lose your momentum." Mm-hmm. And then he added, "Any Romans who don't like it, you're all just sooks and whingers." Think about that.
I am thinking about it. Yes.
Tooting the horn and revving the Sandman, Buckley Street. You're invited.
Oh, I can't wait to be there. That means you're tipping the doggies tonight, Guru?
Tonight? This could go one of two ways. There are two theories. The doggies could win or they could not win. Think about that.
Thank you, Guru. And that's it for the Quartermans this preliminary final day. Billy Baxter, good morning.
Enjoy your football.
Ian Cover.
Go Cats next year.
Torch McGee.
We'll go the Bloods next week.
Greg Champion. Mm-hmm.
Yes, see you folks. Bye-bye.
And thanks for listening.